Please return your seats and turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we'll begin reading from chapter 26. We begin reading from verse 16. 2 Chronicles, chapter 26 and verse 16. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, King, it's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry. Now he had the censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priest, leprosy broke out of his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham his son reigned in his place. Let's pray together. Our Father, we pause now before you and asking that you glorify yourself in the preached word. Lord, we pray that you use this word even to prepare our hearts to receive and partake of the breaking of bread. Father, we ask that the lessons that we draw from this episode will be lessons that we use to reflect as the year comes to an end, but also as we look forward to the coming year. Cause that your word will be preached authoritatively and in simple and clear terms, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the year 1945, a 27-year-old Billy Graham entered the ministry, came out storming out of seemingly nowhere, and was preaching the gospel across the United States, preaching to as many as 30,000 people per night, and was also hired as the first full-time evangelist for the Youth for Christ organization. And his reputation as a uniquely gifted preacher thundered across America like wildfire. Most of us have heard of a man called Billy Graham. But what about Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford? Few of us probably know those names, or maybe you've not even heard of those names. They too entered ministry in 1945, around the same time with Billy Graham. In fact, Bron Clifford was termed as the most gifted preacher of the three. All three came out shooting of the starting blocks, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how come a few of us know of Chuck and Bron? Especially that they all went into ministry at the same time, almost the same age, all of them gifted preachers. Chuck Templeton, 5 years later, left the ministry and was no longer interested in the ministry and also in the orthodox sense of what the Bible teaches. He no longer believed in Christ and his claims. Bron Clifford, 9 years later, also left the ministry, walked out of his wife and two of their children, who both had the condition Down syndrome. And later, just at the age of 35, Bron Clifford died from a liver problem due to his excessive beer drinking. Three young, gifted men entered ministry at the same time, preaching to almost 50,000 people in a week. And within 10 years, only one of them was still preaching the gospel. Now, in the Christian life, it is not how you start that really matters, but how you finish your race. People remember your end more than they remember how you started. The Christian life is what someone has called a long obedience in the same direction. It's long obedience in the same direction. And so even as we come to the end of this year, and I said this morning, the end of the year signifies that we're drawing closer to meet with God. When you examine your life, how will you finish your race on earth? What will be said of you as the last memories of your fellow believers? Finishing strong in the faith is not impossible, but it's going to demand discipline from you, tough choices and decisions, and most of the time personal brokenness, so that you remain in the path that God wants you to tread. The passage we've read gives us the life of King Uzziah, a very sad conclusion to a promising life, a tragic conclusion to a life that had shown so much potential. King Uzziah succeeded excellently in what he did, but his success seduced him into pride. His pride led him to sin, and in few moments nullified years of great achievements. Here is a man who had reigned for 52 years and many outstanding accomplishments. But the end was a sad one. And the inscription on his tombstone was, "He was a leper. And that's all people began to remember about this king. And I'd like us to draw some lessons from this episode. Even as we begin to think about the end of this year, and as we plan to begin to make resolutions for the following year, I hope this life, this episode will give us some benchmarks to really examine our hearts and see whether our success, whether in our businesses or our workplaces or our walk with the Lord, is slowly leading us into a path of pride. And pride is dangerous. And the first thing we note about the danger of pride is that it leads to arrogance. It leads to arrogance. And this is what verse 16 actually tells us. And verse 16 begins with the contrasting word, but. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And note that somewhere in his sudden rise to success and fame, King Uzziah developed an attitude of arrogance. He revealed an exaggerated sense of self-importance because of his abilities and his success. He began to think that because of what he had done or what he had achieved, he could go into the house of the Lord and do that which God had clearly commanded through Moses. It needed to be done by the priests who were the descendants of Aaron. There was this sense of self-importance, and he thought he could do anything, even what was displeasing to God. When you read the first 15 verses of chapter 26 of 2 Chronicles, it spells great achievements of King Uzziah. It shows us his success. And it also shows us that in the beginning, Uzziah followed God's ways and he pursued God. He was a student of the Word of God and learned at the feet of a great Bible teacher, Zechariah. He was being instructed and he feared the Lord, and so he began very well. And as he ruled over Judah, God was with him. The smile of the Lord was on everything he did. In spite of all his achievements and the history-making success, Uzziah reached a point where his spiritual life took a drastic nosedive, as it were. He entered this spin, and to the best of our knowledge, when we read the scriptures, he never came out of this to the very end of his death. He began well and finished poorly. And when we get to verse 16, that's why we see those words, but when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. And the word but there is giving us a contrast. He said, look at this man's life. Look at how he began. Look at all these things he was able to achieve. But when he had become strong, he became unfaithful to the Lord. He became proud. And that was the beginning of his downfall. He began to spend more time and attention to the external achievement, and he lost focus on the things that really mattered, his relationship with his God. He accomplished much, but in his all-exciting busyness, he began to give his relationship with God low priority in his life. God, who had been with him, God who had helped him accomplish all these things, was demoted to the second place in this king's life. And all he wanted was what he could achieve, and he was basically looking at all these achievements. His character did not keep pace with his accomplishments. And the Bible tells us, as a result of that, he began to fall away from his God. The commotion and the business that he was involved in began to squeeze God right out of his life. And this led to arrogance in his life. And the Bible tells us when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. And he was unfaithful to God. And he began to think that he can do that which God had not authorized him to do because of everything that he was doing. And so he goes into the temple and trying to behave as if he was a priest. And yet God, in his wisdom, had anointed him to be king, and he had delegated the work of going into the altar to the sons of Aaron. And he is a man who thought, surely, if I've done all these things, why can't I go into the house of the Lord and do that which priests will do? And that was arrogance. And that's the danger of pride. It leads to arrogance. Pride gives you this false sense of self-importance. And you begin to think that you are the most qualified to do this or do that. Or you have this high view of yourself and everyone must pause and listen to you. And this is what we see in this man's life. And all this began because he began to focus on what he had achieved and forgot about his walk with God. And instead of him looking at his achievement and recognizing that it is because of God, he began to look at himself and began to have this sense of self-importance. And he became unfaithful to his God. And the Bible says he grew proud to his destruction. Now most of us may actually think that we are not proud. But just examine your life. Look at the path that King Uzziah took. Could it be that that's the path that you are taking? Could it be that the Lord has enabled you to achieve so much in whatever sphere of life? And because of that, you are slowly, without realizing, that you are becoming arrogant. And you begin to slowly drift away from your walk with God. Those disciplines that you had put in place are beginning to slowly become secondary in your life. And this begins when you neglect a healthy walk with God. The closer you draw to God through His Word, the more His Word confronts you and shows you your pride. The more you interact with God and meditate on His Word, God speaks to you and God shows you where your problem is and what you need to do. But when you neglect those disciplines of reading God's Word and praying to God, before long you'll be treading in the path of King Uzziah. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that God had revealed so much to a man he mentions, whether it's Paul or not, there's always a debate. But one thing he says, there was this man I know who was caught in the third heavens. And the Lord revealed things too great for him. He wasn't even allowed to express those things and was given a thorn in the flesh to keep him from exalting himself. And the Bible warns us, let him who thinks stand, take heed, lest he falls. Pride leads to arrogance. And arrogance brings a false sense of self-importance. And eventually it leads you into a path of sin. And that path of sin leads you to be less dependent on God and more dependent on self. But the second danger we see is that pride brings about aversion to accountability. It brings about this dislike to accountability. And you actually see when you read verse 17 all the way to verse 19a. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to bring incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was angry. When this king arrogantly went to offer incense on the altar, we are told that Azariah and 80 others went before him. Courageous men of valor, confronted this powerful king. They knew what needed to be done in this case. They knew that what the king was about to do was not right. And so they confronted the king. They reminded the king that this thing you're trying to do is not for you. But how did the king respond to that rebuke? We are told the king was enraged. He was not pleased that these men would confront him. His response shows that this man was full of himself. This man probably had gotten used to having no accountability in his life. And so when these men, godly men, 81 of them, confronts him, instead of him repenting and reflecting what these men are saying, he exploded in rage. But when we read the first 15 verses, earlier in his life, he accepted the counsel of the godly Zechariah. Zechariah taught him from the word. And this man listened. And if you read chapter 26 and verse 5, you actually see that He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him prosper. And that's how he began. He would listen to the counsel and the rebuke of the godly Zechariah. But now this man has become proud, has grown strong, and is already unfaithful to God. He doesn't want any accountability in his life. If this is what he wants to do, it doesn't matter if God is against it. That's what he wants to do. And you are told, Azariah and the other priests told him, this is not right. This is displeasing to God. You have been unfaithful, and this will not bring honor to God. It will not bring honor to the Lord that you've saved all this time. But yet the king was so enraged that instead of him listening to the voice of reason through these 81 priests, he was not pleased. As we grow in our lives as Christians, as we grow in our careers or in our businesses, there is need for us to have accountability in our lives. When we become as powerful as this king, there's need for you to have people that can confront you like these courageous men and tell you, what is it that you are doing? There's need for us to have godly men and women that can rebuke us, even though it may hurt, but at least we can acknowledge that they are doing it for our good. There's need for us as we plan our lives, as we pray for God to increase us and to grow us. We must pray that God bring such people in my life that I'll be held accountable, that they can come to me and speak to me and show me areas in my life that may be displeasing to God. And being accountable means you are willing to explain your actions to other believers. We all need this discipline in our lives. Every one of us needs such accountability in our lives. While we plan and become busy in whatever spheres of life the Lord has called us, it is very easy to begin to focus on your achievements, your success, and forget your God. And hence the need for us to have people that can confront us and poke us and say, what's happening? We've not seen you at church. What is it that I hear? What is it that I see? What's happening to you? And these individuals will help us to stay on that path and help us to finish strong our lives on this earth. When we become loose and averse to accountability because of the pride in us, it may lead us to the path of this great king, King Uzziah. And when you are long gone, people will simply remember not your achievements in the early years of your Christian life, but how you finished your race. Do you have people in your life that can confront you over certain things? We're not just talking about the elders. We are talking about fellow believers, mature believers, individuals that you know when they come and confront you, it's not because of malice or anything, it's because they care. They want me to be on the path that is pleasing to God. And so even when they bring the truth to bear upon my life, I know it's because they are concerned. And I must be willing to take their advice, their rebuke, their instruction, because it will help me in my walk with the Lord. If you are averse to accountability, you are heading in a path of destruction. You are heading in the path that this king was heading into. That even when 80 plus one priests stood in front to help him see his error of his ways, he was enraged. Pride makes us become averse to accountability. And we see this in the life of Uzziah. But quickly, in the third place, we see that pride attracts God's discipline. Pride attracts God's discipline. And this is what we pick from verse 19b all the way to verse 23. Then Uzziah was hungry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became hungry with the priest, leprosy broke out of his forehead in the presence of the priest in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham his son was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from his first to last, Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his place. The Lord disciplined King Uzziah because of his pride, which led him to sin against God. No doubt when he was confronted by the priests, if he had repented, the Lord would have not struck him. The Lord would have forgiven him of his error. But he did not repent. And God struck the king. When you read this account, probably you are thinking maybe this was a bit too harsh. But God had clearly spoken to Moses that if anyone was to enter the Holy of Holies to offer incense on the altar who was not a priest, punishment was death. God would have struck Uzziah on the spot and he would have died. But the Lord still was gracious to this man and spared his life. And we are told his son had to carry on the affairs of the kingdom, the affairs of the household of the kingdom. And the king died in this state as a leper, separated from everyone, excluded from the house of the Lord. And when you read the NIV, it brings out, even how he was buried. When you read verse 23, the NIV actually says, Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for burial that belongs to the kings. For people said he had leprosy. And you see that even in death, his memory was dishonored. Instead of him being buried where they used to bury kings, he was actually buried near, not in the same spot, but near. Because everyone was saying, there's no way this man who had this leprosy should be buried with the rest of the kings. And so whenever people would go past, walk that side, and walk past his tomb, all they would remember, he had leprosy. They forgot that he was a great king who had ruled Judah for 52 years. But these were his last memories, and these are the memories that lingered on the minds of people that knew this great king. He had leprosy. And that was the final comment on his life. This great king, he had leprosy. The inscription was not, here lies this great king who did all these things. The inscription was, he had leprosy. Now, from this account, we must always remember that God is holy. And sometimes I think we've lost sight of the awesome holiness of God. Sometimes we play with sin, or we play with God. It's because we've lost sight of the fact that He is a holy God. And the end of King Uzziah's life must help us to remember that. That God who's holy, when he says pride is sin, he will surely deal with it. This God who's holy, when he says that he will deal with sin, we must always remember this. And we've got numerous examples in the scriptures where God's holiness was blazing in people's lives. And if you want even to see the greatness of God's holiness is when you see it blazing on the cross when he struck his son, because his son was now shouldering the sins of this world. Brethren, we must not lose sight of God's holiness. Let this awesome attribute of God cause us to exalt this great God and to shudder that if we tread in the path of Uzziah, we too may be treading on the path that is displeasing to this holy God. God will punish sin. And if we disregard his word and begin to exalt ourselves, God will discipline us if we are his children. And if we are not his children, he will visit you in judgment. The more God enables us to grow in our careers or in our businesses or in our work with him, the more it ought to drive us to our knees and plead with God that He may continue to show us our weaknesses, and that our weaknesses will continue to cause us to go before God and plead for His mercy and grace. As we come to the close of the year, and indeed, as I come to the close of the sermon this evening, just two quick things I'd like to say. Number one, external accomplishments can be false indicators of success. External or outward accomplishments can be false indicators of success. As human beings, the parameter we use to see who's successful are often the first impressions that we get or that we see. And we form conclusions on the basis of the outward appearance of an individual or a life that we see and observe. And so sometimes the people we call successful may actually really be on the path to destruction and heartbreak. And so while we're admiring their outward success, they're actually on the path to destruction because they've long forgotten about God, or they've long abandoned their walk with God. And because of this chasing after the things of this world and wanting to have this and wanting to have that, they've tainted their testimonies and their consciences. If you want to know how successful someone is, get to know also their lives. Don't just admire their outward accomplishments. But the second thing is that we must guard our hearts against spiritual indifference. We must guard our hearts against spiritual indifference. When our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ confront us, it's because they care. Some of them have actually seen other believers who took that path, and they know where that path led them. Some of them, especially the older believers, maybe some of them actually made some of those mistakes, and they are preventing you from heading into that path. Guard against spiritual indifference. When you are confronted because of sin and you can see it's out of the concern for my life, listen. It may be painful, but God may be using that rebuke to help you come out of your spiritual slothfulness. Don't allow your pride to cool your spiritual temperature. Let others minister in your life and seek to minister in their lives. Pride is dangerous. It will lead you in the path of King Uzziah, a sad conclusion to a very promising life. And so even as we come to eat of the bread and drink of the cup, all I ask that we may cry out to the Lord, that the Lord will search our hearts, and that if there's any sin in us, that the Lord will bring it to bear upon our lives, and that we may repent of it. That even as we look forward to the end of this year, into the year that comes, that we will continue praying that the Lord will search our hearts and reveal any sin in us. Pride is dangerous. And let's remember the lessons from King Uzziah. That because of his pride, he was led into a destructive path, and God disciplined him. Let's just pray together, after which Oda Kumwenda will come and lead us into the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Our Father, we pause and do confess that many are the times we become so blinded to our own sinfulness because of our outward accomplishments. Lord, we pray that as we reflect on this year and begin to make resolutions for the following year, oh Lord, be merciful to us and reveal the state of our hearts and cause us to see the sinfulness in us. But oh God, we are grateful that you are a gracious God, a God who demands and commands that we turn away from sin. And so God, we pray that before we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, cause us to reflect and examine our hearts. And if there is any sin in us, Lord, bring it to bear upon our consciences and cause us to repent of it. Lord, bless the cup and the bread as we eat and drink of it, and be with our dear elder as he leads us through the breaking of bread. For we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.